Hi everyone, and thank you for joining us on another episode of Lid Publishing's podcast, Lid Radio. My name is Miro, and I will be your host for today's show. With me today is the author of The Enduring Strategic Brand, Luke Bardren. How are you today, Luke?
Very good, thank you. Good morning, Miro.
It's great to have you here in the studio, and we're very happy to have you here for today's show. Now, for those listening, Luke advises blue chip companies, governments, and academic institutions on their brand, marketing, and partnership strategies. Prior to this, he was Group Vice President for 12 years in BP and notably Group Chief Sales and Marketing Officer, CEO of multiple global branded businesses, and a member of the BP Downstream Exco. He is a professor and member of the advisory board of the Strategic Marketing MSCs at Imperial College Business School. And once again, thank you for joining us today to talk about your new book, The Enduring Strategic Brand, and the themes and ideas behind it. So without further ado, my first question for any author that joins us is, what inspired you to actually write a book?
It's the topic, Miro. I had this book on my chest because, frankly, brand are not done well enough by far. As you just said, it's my second book, and it was the same in both cases. It was all about the topic. If you're me, as you mentioned from the past, I leave the BP brand Gulf of Mexico crisis, and frankly, that's probably the ultimate test that any brand can face. There were also brilliant bright sides to brand stories. We did branded partnerships, second to none. I was very privileged to live intimately the life of 25 of the blue chip companies in the partnerships that we had. And I was also growing branded businesses as CEOs of these businesses all my life. A long story to say that, it's not necessarily about me. It's about all these CEOs, CMOs, who I see struggling with brands in our fourth industrial revolution times. If you think about the reason why they struggle, it's probably because the brand is not strategic enough, or strategy is not close enough to the brand. And as much as a lot have been written, research and all the rest on brands, that link between strategy and brands is almost uncommented.
Now, that's very interesting, because the power of the brand has proven itself again and again to be something very influential and very important. Yet it seems that many organizations still do not place it at the top of their priorities. Why is that?
There are, I suppose, many reasons for this, but maybe let me mention three. Firstly, as you said, the power of the brand has proven itself. But actually, hasn't it for a minority of enterprises? In fact, many organizations have not found the magic of dovetailing brand and strategy and making the brand core to their business model and the main driver of value generation, have they? But my second comment might be on leadership, organizational and human reality of organizations, just because probably they don't naturally predicate to this. We have in the book a full chapter on people led, people leading, where we ask and comment on questions like, how many companies have an ex-CMO as CEO? Or a brand leader who has been the CEO of businesses accountable for bottom lines? That seem very simple questions, but aren't they quite core to putting the brand at the heart of the business model? Finally, if you compare that number of CEOs having been CMOs to the number of CEOs who've been CFOs, what do you think the relationship is? So it's not necessarily natural to put the brand at the center of your business model. And we offer practical options for improving this, including challenges to CEOs on how they staff and they equip their organizations to do better in that space. And maybe not to be overlong, my third comment on this is that placing the brand in the center of the enterprise takes a lot of courage. One of the brands we study in a chapter called Strategy Guiding is Unilever. Look at the challenges that Paul Polman, having a brand-driven enterprise strategy, has faced. It was quite extraordinary, and it is still quite extraordinary. Everybody else would have given up, but he hasn't, thankfully, because I suppose the main reason is that brand is not mainstream, and therefore the financial market doesn't intuitively support. I would say the reverse, intuitively suspect brand strategy driven. Brand-driven strategy, sorry.
Yes, and I would like to kind of focus back on the book here, because what you've said is very interesting, and I would like to know if you can tell us more about what the strategic brand concept is and which companies are making the best out of it.
Yeah. Thank you for this. Yeah, we probably should start defining what we're talking about. The book spends its time to define what a strategic brand is or might be. But let me steal very simple definitions from BMW and their board member for marketing, Ian Robertson. And what Ian says is that a strategic brand is what drives the company rather than anything else. I'd steal also another sort of close by in notion definition from Nina Bibi, who is the CMO of O2, another brand that we discuss in the book. And what Nina very well says is that at O2, what they say is that they are not a business that runs a brand, they are a brand that runs a business. And by the way, she adds, it's the backbone of the business, it's central to our purpose, it's central to how we create value and how we deliver the product and our product and services. In short, it is the way it actually imbues the spine of the business. It's a beautiful set of summaries on how you might want to define, in a fairly simple way, what the strategic brand is. Now, in the brand, we get such extensive inputs from CEOs, chairmen, CMOs, senior officers of around 50 top brands, of which we deep dive 20. We call these 20 extraordinary brands. And to your question on who does it well, a few names. We've selected Toyota for culture and on our culture chapter, Airbnb on connectedness, IBM on partnering, Diageo on emotional, Aldi on customer centric, the Chinese company Aier for future embracing. Interestingly, maybe enough, the Olympic movement on rigor and discipline, the Indian Tata on trust, Walt Disney on purpose, and let me finish here with this long sort of list. As everything starts and finishes with value, we couldn't avoid, of course, talking about Apple and Google in our value chapter. And believe me, in the book, we questioned them hard, because we wanted to know about their magic.
And out of those brands, did perhaps one stick out for you more than the other ones? Do you have a favorite?
I wouldn't say so. I think what you'll find, in fact, the selection process has been incredibly challenging for the brands who feature as exemplary brands. And it has been a combination of what they're doing and how they're doing it. But it's been a combination of the personality of the individual in charge, one way or another, of the brand. Some of them are just stunning. The voices are just extraordinary. If you take Airbnb, you know, this company almost didn't exist 8 years ago. They're probably worth $35 billion today. At least the brand is probably worth $35 billion. And the way their CMO talks about the essence, the destination, the beliefs, the way that they've given out 90% of the control of their brand to their stakeholders, etc. It's just absolutely fascinating. And I'm just, you know, it just intuitively come to my mind. But you will have here 20, 30, 40, 50 voices with the passion and the highest level of impact and performance on brand.
Now, as we were talking about the list of brands, I would actually like to focus on the 13 brand imperatives that are in the book. And there was one that really left an impression on me, and that was being crisis resilient. And you mentioned crisis at the beginning of the podcast slightly, but a crisis can put any strategy and any company to the test alongside their brand as well. What is the best approach to deal with such situations?
Can I, if you don't mind, come back to the first part of your question, which is to mention that there is a 13 plus 1 imperative system in the book, and maybe comment a little bit on this,
sure.
And then unpick one of them, which is, as you very rightly say, crisis resilience. You know, one of the reasons why, I suppose, to your earlier question, organizations don't place brand in the center of what they do is on the how. Who knows to do this well and to have the confidence to actually do it? So instead of making an advocacy of is the brand important, the book is mainly about the how. You know, it's, as I said earlier, featuring the voice of C-suite practitioners who know and practice the coalface of brand strategy. Therefore, I would suggest that the unique feature of the book is to offer this framework for how, which is built on 13 plus 1 strategic brand imperatives. There are too many to cite here, but you know, you've got a range from clarity of purpose and culture and authenticity to connected, partnering, future embracing, strategy guiding, trusted, value, just to cite a few. Now, maybe the interesting feature of the book is to offer this as a strategic brand system. Each of these is critical, but the relationship between those is equally important. In fact, we have an online tool for brands to self-assess and benchmark themselves in that particular system, and it's getting hugely hugely popular. To your point now on crisis resilience. Crisis resilience is actually one of the 13 plus 1 imperatives, so it's absolutely integral part to the system. It's very interesting you picked on this because, you know, as the group vice president for brand and chief sales marketing at the time of the BP Gulf of Mexico, you know, living these days and nights in the US, you can imagine that this topic is quite close to my heart, and there were a few learnings on the way
yes.
of that crisis.
Yes, we go for the hard questions. Yeah.
Well done. but you know, in addition to this particular crisis, I was you know, quite close to, or very close, I have to say, to the Ford Firestone crisis at the time, the Toyota unsolicited acceleration in 2010, the W Dieselgate, which, by the way, we comment in the book, etc. So, you know, a few scars on, you know, internal and external scars on crisis. Learning, you said, there are plenty. Actually, the book features 16 key learning about brand, in a broad sense, strategic brand, you know, about crisis. But let me maybe pick two or three. The first one I would say is prepare in peacetime. You know, even more, build your brand in consideration of a major crisis. We hope that no crisis will ever happen. But in fact, if you prepare in peacetime in that sense, your brand will anyway benefit so much and it will be so much stronger, irrespective, again, if a crisis happens or doesn't happen. So push it in that context, as if the crisis was tomorrow morning. A second one, when you get in a crisis, develop a crisis strategy very early. It's very hard to do, and you know, there will be a lot of unknown, but nevertheless, do it. Absolutely, create a destination for yourself, and as much as you can, pave the way to that destination and stick to it. We have seen too often brands and organizations losing their way in the strategy or being too much influenced by events in managing a crisis, and that is absolutely a disaster, absolutely a recipe for disaster. A third and last one, and I'll finish with this, protect your CEO. There are some amazing comments made by the by Tony Eawood, who at the time was the chief executive of BP. We burnt him. We didn't protect him enough. It's a collective fault of the system, and you know, you might remember that it didn't help. Interestingly, now Volkswagen almost burned Matthias Müller, then new CEO. You'll read how this happened to a part and finally didn't happen fully, but we almost lost him, which would have been a very big crisis. Not getting into too many details, you'll find 16 what I would call golden learning from a lot of very experienced people about crisis resilient brand in the book.
And a very important message of the book is that, as you mentioned, it is a strategy book. It is not something like an overview. And which part of the book do you regularly apply yourself in your everyday work life?
Two questions, really.
Yes. Two in one.
No, it's great. On the fact that it's a strategy book, you're absolutely at the essence of the book. Thank you for that. Yes, indeed. It's not, as you might read sometimes, either big theory or a lot of tactics. It is really meant to improve. It is not meant to improve only. It is really meant to transform. As I mentioned earlier, it's written from the front line by C-suite practitioners for their peers, board members, CEOs, CMOs, who all share the highs and lows of driving value creation day in and day out. Now, mainstream realities are clear. Despite the transformational power that it has or can have, the brand is rarely at the very core of the organization's strategy. As I said, actually, very little research and only few articles, reports or agencies associate the words brand with strategy and focus on the long-term development of a strategy brand as the way of being. That's what we intended to cover in the book. And an additional reason for this, Miro, is that disruption is now the new normal, and business leaders are faced with spiraling challenges, complexity to grow, sustain their brands in our brave new world. So, strategic approach and the wealth of experience and exemplary practice point these brands, plus the system of 13 plus one vital strategy brand imperative, does actually produce and offer a strategic approach to brand. And that's absolutely what we intended to do. I'll make a shortcut. Embrace that framework, diagnose where you are, get on that journey. And I think you'll find your strategy, you'll find your company, you'll find your value, and you'll find the mean to this, which is the brand, very different. How do I apply it today? Well, it's a system. I apply it every day in its entirety. This is the way I have now, having written the book and got clarity in writing the book.
Yes.
I've learned to think. But let me be very candid. I have to admit that I would have benefited from this strategic framework and from that system when I was in post. And I look back and I say, my God, I would have done a few things differently. And, I've taken the journey maybe slightly differently. So take it as a rallying cry to step back, get into the strategy of brand, and just accept that maybe there is a path for transformation.
Great, that is some very good advice there for our listeners. And actually, my final question is the one I ask everyone that comes around a podcast, and that is, what are you currently reading?
So if I had to pick one...
You can pick more than one.
If that's okay, you inspire a generic comment, but if I had to pick one, I would say undoubtedly the fourth industrial revolution. There will be a new version of this after the 2016 version by Professor Schwab and the World Economic Forum. And the reason for this is that the best you can see the future, the better you'd probably be equipped to do what you've got to do personally as a business leader, but also as a brand transformer, as a matter of fact. Now, again, being very candid, I have read 150 brand and strategy book over the last 18 months, probably 50 on culture.
150?
Yeah, it's been... I got absolutely passionate with this theme. And there are millions of books on brand. I didn't want to lose what they had created and what these more clever people than I am have created. On the other hand, I wanted that this book says what it had to say in a very different way. So, we were not lazy. We sort of went into it, made a selection, read these Actually, 200 books, because I think culture is a very important aspect of all what we are talking. And therefore, in respect of books, I'm posing a little bit, as you might imagine, but I'm doing something else, or something which we've also done, but I would, I'm very keen to do, which is to try to every day grab the reality of where things are going and where they are, and best practice and excellence. And in particular, I'm fascinated with societal points of view as they are sort of produced nowadays. I'll mention two from very well-known people. One is by Jeff Bezos of Amazon, which is called Customer Obsession, Fend of Day Two. And that's an amazing piece on let's not get any routine get there. You know, every day is a full reinvention, and I think it's absolutely spot on. And there is another one from Mark Zuckerberg, chief executive of Facebook, as we all know, and it is the New Facebook's Manifesto, published in February 2017. It's an open letter, and he offers a very transformational point of view of society, a connected society, which I think, is absolutely fascinating. I don't know if he's running for presidency or paving the way to do that, but certainly it is a perspective on the world which is absolutely fascinating. Something that we as brand leaders can't ignore if we want to take the future, grab the future, and lead and win into the future. Anyway, that's what I'm doing. And what we're trying, Miro, my last words will be, what we're trying to do is actually capture all of this and make it available to people. We've developed a site. On that site I mentioned earlier, you can get on and have a free diagnostic of your brand in the framework. But there is much more in respect to, again, thought leaders and best practice on brand, etc. And I don't know if I'm allowed to do this, which is to give the URL.
No, absolutely, please do.
Okay,
please
so
do.
It's www.thestrategicbrand, all in small letters and no space between the three words, .net, www.thestrategicbrand.net.
Great, and in the description below we will include the link if you missed it, so you can go and you can find out more about the strategic brand, and also we'll include links to the book where you can go and you can find out more about the concepts and ideas we talked about today, and of course about Luke and his work and his career. But with that, I would like to thank you very much for joining us today on the podcast. It's been great to have you.
Thank you, Miro.
And for our listeners, we again thank you very much for joining us on another episode, and we will look forward to seeing you next week on DID Radio.